Good morning, everyone, and happy Sunday. Welcome to our weekly gathering today. I'm very, very happy to see you all. In fact, what I'm going to do is just scan the board, scroll down and kind of scan the board and see who all is here. Hello, everyone. All right, so now that I've looked at each of y'all with my eyeballs and I've had the opportunity to say good morning to each of you, I want to give y'all the opportunity to say good morning as well. So I'm going to start by playing the song that I traditionally start each weekly gathering with. It's the Deva Pramal and Mitten song called Awakening. And y'all just go ahead and greet each other on the board and we'll start the morning with a big hug.
The calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
I love watching everyone, greet everyone. It's just wonderful, I think, this community that we have. You know, most people imagine, I remember when I lived in the South, people would talk about your church home. You know, and people always wanted you to go to their church, and that conversation would always begin with, have you found a church home yet? And when we started having these weekly gatherings, over a year ago, a year and a quarter ago, I mean, our first gathering was July 21st of 2013, and y'all showed up then. I remember in my heart and in my mind, they together said, ah, yes, now I've found my church home. You know, like I could just feel it. It was most definitely this group of people. And so I'm very, very happy to be here with y'all, and I love watching y'all greet each other. It's just amazing, isn't it, that, you know, we live so far away from one another. Some of us have never met face to face. Many of us have. But yet, we're definitely as close as can be. At least that's how it feels to me. Let me start by just sharing a little bit about Awakening Together in case there's anyone here or listening and Awakening Together is new to you. First of all, Awakening Together actually was born out of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. And so the Foundation for the Holy Spirit's mission is also the mission of Awakening Together. And that mission is that we are committed to helping individuals become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom, by providing a ministry and other resources and services that are beneficial to that mission. And for me, the key part of that statement is that we are here to help each other become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom. That's the core of what we are about. We know that everyone is equal. Everyone is ultimately even the same. And we also know that each one has access to that same inner guidance, and it knows how to guide each one of us perfectly. And in fact, two of our five core values really point to this. Our first core value says, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. And our second core value says, we realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. So really, you could say that the core of what we're about is that we each have inner guidance, inner wisdom, spiritual intuition that guides each and every one of us perfectly. And we trust that, and we're here to help each one on our own unique journey to awakening. And as a result, our purpose, the Awakening Together purpose, says we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. But then it also goes on to say, within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. So the spiritual teachings that speak clearest to me may not be the spiritual teachings that speak clearest to you. The symbols that just blow my heart wide open may not be the symbols that blow your heart wide open, and vice versa. But in Awakening Together, we respect that. And all that we really want for one another is that we each find our way and follow our way. And we're here as friends, joined in that purpose of awakening to the one true self, knowing that there are many ways to do that. So welcome, everyone, to Awakening Together. I have a few announcements that I'll make this morning. Tonight is our member meeting, first of all. Our member meeting is at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. Pacific Time, the first Sunday of every month. And so that's tonight, November 2nd. By the way, if you happen to be listening from outside of the country, you probably already know it because you're here at the right time, but here in America, we did change our clocks this weekend. So it's a little different time for some of you, because your clocks did not change. It's also true even if you're in the country, if you're in the state of Arizona, we've had a time change. But tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, we will have our monthly member meeting. And there are a few things I'm going to talk about at the member meeting tonight. One thing I will talk about is our vision to open a retreat center near Pueblo, Colorado. I'll let you know what's going on with that. I'm also going to announce our November satsang guest. And then the three announcements that I'm about to make now, I'm going to make briefly, and I'll just go into those with more detail tonight as well. So please come to the member meeting tonight. My three announcements are just about opportunities to get together that are coming up in the very near future, over the next 6 months. The first one's only 2 weeks away. In fact, it's a little less than 2 weeks away. I will be in Quincy, Massachusetts, with Open Doors on Saturday, November 15th. And the topic is going to be, Peace is My Only Goal. but we're going to talk about how sometimes when we think peace is our only goal, how we can misunderstand that, and how we can think we are trying to get peace or achieve peace or accomplish peace, when actually we're doing exactly the opposite. And we're going to look at what really allows peace and how our way of being allows peace. And so we're going to look at that on November 15th at Quincy, Mass, at the home of Vicky Poppy. And you can register for that by going to the Open Doors website, or if you don't know your way to the Open Doors website, you can go to the Awakening Together website under Events. And there you'll find the announcement about this November 15th gathering, and then you can find your way to Open Doors from there. There'll be a link for you. Also, this next bit of information is new information, so new, in fact, that you can't quite register yet. You can just begin to think about it. I've been invited to join with Jennifer Hadley in Baja, Mexico, from March 1 to March 7, 2015. So coming up in the not-too-distant future. David Hoffmeister is also going to be there, John Mundy, and Maria Felipe. And it's at this beautiful, beautiful hotel on the ocean. The hotel has 5 pools. There's a jacuzzi in every room. It's just incredibly gorgeous. And the price includes the retreat. It includes all of the meals, and it includes the room. And in fact, when I looked at how beautiful the hotel was, I thought, you know, the price is really a very good price. In fact, I think there's even multiple restaurants that you can choose from, and the price includes eating in any of those restaurants. Just like if you were on a cruise ship, you would have your choice sometimes of which restaurant to go to. So it's the same kind of thing. Or an all-inclusive resort. It's like an all-inclusive resort situation. The price is $1,697, so $1,697. But again, it's an all-inclusive price for 7 days and 6 nights. So I thought it was actually a very good price that Jennifer was able to negotiate. What Jennifer is working on now is what she calls affiliate links. And when she gets this affiliate link ready, she'll send it to me, and then I will put it on the Awakening Together website. I'll also put it on Regina Don Acres. If you register through our website using the affiliate link, then Awakening Together gets paid. If you happen to register through Jennifer's website, for example, or someone else's, then Awakening Together doesn't get paid. So it's very much like the Community Miracle Centers set up for their conferences, based on the speaker that you sign up with. That person gets credit, and then their organization gets paid. So although you could go ahead and sign up now at Jennifer's website, I'm just going to ask that you wait until we get it on our website, if you don't mind, and register through our website, and that way Awakening Together will get paid a certain amount of money based on the fact that you registered through us. So as soon as that is up, we'll let you know. But it's going to be a very beautiful location, March 1 to March 7. Again, a great getaway, and I think the price is fantastic considering everything you're getting for the price. And then, of course, the next announcement is something you all are already familiar with. You know that the ACIM conference is coming up in New York City, April 17th to 19th, and many of you, I think, already have probably your registration taken care of. If you don't have your registration taken care of and you want to sign up, I recommend you do that before November 30th because the price right now is $499, and the price is going to go up after November 30th. That price, by the way, does not include the room, and it includes 4 meals. It includes your Friday dinner, your Saturday lunch and dinner, and your Sunday brunch. But you will need to get your own room, and that's really what I want to talk about right now. Tony recently sent out an email saying when you book your room, consider booking your room 1 or 2 nights early and maybe a night late. So typically if you were going to just the conference, you would book your room for maybe Friday and Saturday night only, and then you would fly out on Sunday because the conference ends with brunch on Sunday. But what CMC is going to do is offer some optional tours so that we can experience New York City together. And I know many of us that are going to this conference have not really been to New York yet, so it'll be wonderful to take advantage of these tours. So if you want to take advantage of the tours, he's recommending you come in 1 or 2 nights early, so either Wednesday night or at least, you know, be there by Thursday night, or and stay an extra night, stay Sunday night, maybe even Monday night. And in fact, I'm going to arrive on Thursday, and I won't be leaving till Tuesday so that I can spend some little extra time there. So I wanted to share that information with you all. So if you're booking your room for that particular conference at the Hotel Pennsylvania, you can consider whether you want to come in 1 or 2 nights early and stay 1 or 2 nights later. Like I said, I'll be coming in on Thursday and leaving on Tuesday. And I think that's it for the announcements today. As I mentioned, there's a member meeting tonight, so we'll talk more tonight. And what I'd like to do now, just to kind of set the tone for moving away from the announcements portion of our gathering to the more sacred portion of our gathering, is I'd like to play a song. This song is by a band called The Fray, and the name of the song is Be Still. Of silence, followed by a prayer. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for that continual opening, that continual blossoming, which is really letting go of old ways of thinking and seeing and realizing with clarity. Help us to know the difference between intellectual understanding of spiritual teachings and true clarity, which comes from within. Help us to wait for true clarity that comes from within, instead of thinking we know when we learn with the mind, the thinking mind. Help us to trust that true clarity always comes at the perfect time. Help us to wait in patience. Help us to see waiting in patience as practicing being still, practicing being nothing, practicing being the empty vessel, waiting to be filled with light. Help us to be willing to know nothing until we really do know. And help us to embrace true knowledge when it dawns. Be grateful for it. And not only live it, but be it. In no way seeing ourselves separate from that which we call knowledge or clarity or wisdom. There's not a me who listens to wisdom and follows. There's not a me who is wise. There is the flow of the wisdom. And that is what I am. Amen. Our reading today comes from A Course in Miracles workbook, Lesson 10, My Thoughts Do Not Mean Anything. And our reader is Kathy Smith. So, Kathy, I'm turning the mic over to you.
Good morning, everybody. During the prayer, Regina, there's not a me who has my thoughts, is what occurred to me. And today's lesson, as she said, is from Course in Miracles. It's Lesson 10. My thoughts do not mean anything. This idea applies to all the thoughts of which you are aware or become aware in the practice periods. The reason the idea is applicable to all of them is that they are not your real thoughts. We have made this
Kathy, we can't hear you. You dropped the mic.
Yeah, we'll see if Kathy can hear us and pick up the mic. If not, I'll pick up A Course in Miracles and start reading from Lesson 10. But Kathy, I want to give you one more opportunity. One says you may have hit the wall. Okay, we will wait for you, Kathy. Go out and come back in. We will sit in silence and wait for you. I'm going to play the fray again while we wait for Kathy. So, Kathy, I'm turning the mic over to you.
No. When okay, hopefully you can hear me. Yes? Thank you. Okay, I will begin with the second paragraph where he says, "This is the second time we have used this kind of idea. The form is only slightly different. This time the idea is with my thoughts instead of these thoughts. And no link is made overtly with the things around you. The emphasis now on the lack of reality of what you think you think. This aspect, direction process, began with the idea that the thoughts of which you are aware are meaningless. Outside, rather than within, and then stressed their past, rather than their present status. Now, we are emphasizing that the presence of these that your mind to recognize this is to recognize nothingness when you think you see it. And as such, it is the prerequisite for vision. Close your eyes for these exercises and introduce them by repeating the idea for today quite slowly to yourself. My thoughts do not mean anything. Then add, this idea will help to release me from all that I now believe. The exercises consist, as before, in searching your mind for all the thoughts that are available to you without selection or judgment. Try to avoid classification of any kind. In fact, if you find it helpful to do so, you might imagine that you are watching an oddly assorted procession going by, which has little, if any, personal meaning to you. As each one crosses your mind, say, my thought about cherry pie does not mean anything. My thought about Ebola does not mean anything. Today's thought at any time. In addition, 5 practice periods are recommended, each involving no more than a minute or so of mind searching. It is not recommended that this time period be extended, and it should be reduced to half a minute or less if you experience discomfort. Remember, however, to repeat the idea slowly before applying it specifically, and also to add, this idea will help to release me from all that I now believe. My thoughts do not mean anything. This idea will help to release me from all that I now believe. And that's the end of lesson 10, and I will give the mic up. Thank you, Regina. I was honored to be your reader.
You know, one of the things that Pal Talk is really great at teaching us is what people sometimes call patience. But it's that, it's really not patience. That's just the word people put on it. It's really that acceptance of what is. You know, if we have ideas that Pal Talk is supposed to work in a certain way, we could get very, very frustrated in this room. But if we just go with what is, there's nothing that gets in the way of our peace. So, as I was saying, which you did not hear, today's topic is why my thoughts do not mean anything. And there were some lines that jumped out at me. First of all, what Kathy said when she very, very first took the mic after listening to this morning's prayer, she said, "There's not a me who has my thoughts." And I thought to myself, well, there we go. We don't even have to do the teaching now because that's the answer. That's why my thoughts do not mean anything. There's not a me who has my thoughts. That's the real reason. You know, this lesson, Lesson 10, talks about the thoughts you think you think. And it says that it's teaching us to recognize nothingness when we see it, meaning those thoughts that we think are actually nothing. Lately, just in the last year, I've been teaching something a little new, and I've only taught it a little, not a lot, actually. It's not new, it's old. It's very old. The way I'm teaching it, the language I've been using this year is a little new. It's a new approach to an ancient wisdom. And I think I may have taught it once in this room at the request of a friend. I bring it up a little bit when I'm teaching the Minister Preparation Program. The primary places where I've been teaching it this year are in-person gatherings, like the one I just did in St. Louis and the one that I will be doing in Boston coming up. Like I said, it's new language to an ancient wisdom, and this new language just arose in me this year through my own personal contemplation. And I suppose if I was going to title it, I would have to call it The Four Principles of God. And so some of you right now already know where I'm going because you're in MPP and you've heard this, or you've been to one of my gatherings this year and you've heard this, The Four Principles of God. Mainly what I want to focus on today are the third and fourth principles of God, but in order to do that, I need to kind of do a summary, kind of run down what the four principles are. So this is a high-level overview of what I sometimes cover in three-day gatherings. But the first principle of God equals unmanifest isness. Or we could just call it life. The first principle of God is unmanifest isness. This is often referred to as Source with a capital S, Father with a capital F, Absolute with a capital A, Supreme with a capital S. Ein Sof would be the Kabbalah word. I know Doug's been teaching Kabbalah lately. Ein Sof is the Kabbalah word for this. The first principle of God, unmanifest isness. Now, the first principle of God has one direct creation. We could call it the only begotten Son of God, if you like. And that is awareness. So awareness is the second principle of God. The second principle of God is awareness. At this point, we still do not have any type of manifestation. Now, the reason I say that the second principle of God is the only begotten Son of God is because that's the only thing that came directly from the Source without having, for lack of better words, another element participate in its creation. When you get the first principle of God and the second principle of God together, so now working together, still as one, by the way, but working together, they together were able to make or create the third principle of God, which I'm going to call mind. And again, once you get putting on words on things, you know, somebody else might put mind at the second principle of God. So words get a little funky, I know you guys know. But the reason I'm calling the third principle of God mind is this is where the ability to have ideas comes into being. For example, the Course talks about the tiny mad idea that would have been the birth of the third principle of God. An idea happened. Many spiritualities talk about the point where an idea happened. That's the third principle of God, where ideas began to happen. And ideas create, or using the language of A Course in Miracles, make, because what they make is not eternal. But what comes out of mind is the fourth principle of God, which is form or manifestation. Now, what's interesting about the first principle of God and the second principle of God is that they are absolutely changeless. The third principle of God and the fourth principle of God is the realm of change. Another thing that I call the third and fourth principle together are the creation mechanism. And the reason I call them the creation mechanism is because they affect one another. Ideas create the appearance of form, but then our response to the appearance of form generates, you could say, the next set of ideas. So there's an interactive relationship here. In fact, you've heard me refer to this interactive relationship differently, called the loop of experience. That's the loop that I often share, which starts with what I think I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. So the third and fourth principle are always changing, always affecting one another. The first and second principle are never affected by them. A Course in Miracles tells us that we are the Son of God. The Son of God is the second principle. The Son of God is unaffected awareness. So A Course in Miracles is telling us that we are unaffected awareness. And yet, even beyond unaffected awareness, you have this third and fourth principle that are literally in action, in relationship with one another. What comes out of the third principle, mind, is form. Form includes this person that I might think I am. Form includes Regina Donakers. Form includes Kathy Smith. Form includes Len Johnson. Form includes Barb Dearwater, et cetera, right? Form also includes, and this is very, very important, form also includes the thoughts of Regina Donakers. The thoughts of Kathy Smith, the thoughts of Lynn Johnson, the thoughts of Barbara Dearwater, etc., etc. Lesson 10 refers to what you think you think. What you think you think. This is pointing out that we have clearly forgotten we are the second principle of God, awareness. We think we are the character in the fourth principle of God, manifestation. And we think those thoughts that we see as the character are my thoughts. But they are not. That is not who I am. The character is a changing manifestation. Lately, I've also referred to the character or the personality as a process. I think last week I may have been misunderstood a little because someone said, Regina says she's in process. I'm not saying in process. I'm saying a process, which means it moves, it changes, it's not constant, it's not real. Regina is a process. Her thoughts are a process. Yes, a flow could be another word, a flow. And what we are is constant. So the reason that my thoughts do not mean anything is everything that A Course in Miracles Lesson 10 is telling us and everything that Kathy told us even before she started beginning reading from A Course in Miracles Lesson 10. Those thoughts I think, are not my real thoughts. And the reason they're not my real thoughts is I am not the character. I am the Son of God. I literally precede mind. I am before ego or beyond ego. I am also before Holy Spirit. Because if you remember correctly, Holy Spirit came into being at the level of mind, the level of the third principle of God, as a correction to the ego. But I am the second principle of God, and my source is the first principle of God. So my thoughts do not mean anything literally because I am not the character. I am not Regina. And Regina's thoughts, whatever they are not mine. Now this is what's really interesting, and I know that you all know this. I love preaching to the choir, but this is what's really interesting. There are people who believe that the thoughts need to stop in order to realize who they are. In order to realize their truth. That is not true. The thoughts can continue because the third and fourth principle of God continues. The third and fourth principle of God continues to interact with one another and continues to make change, right? Make form, make manifestation, make thoughts, make a script. That continues. In the East, this is called karma. And since that continues, thoughts can continue to show up. But when I do not see myself as the character, those thoughts have no meaning for me. Because those are no longer thoughts that I think. They are just the temporary effect of the third and fourth principle of God interacting with itself. Those thoughts can be as present, as active, as the third and fourth principle makes them to be. And I, knowing who I am, the second principle of God, does not need to be concerned with them. People often feel guilty for their thoughts. One act that comes about from feeling guilty about our thoughts is then denying that I thought it. And of course, when I deny that I thought it, then I project those types of thoughts onto form itself, and I see it in form, not in me. that whole defense mechanism process doesn't need to happen if I simply understand who I am. That defense mechanism process only happens when I think I am the form. Ego, as Eckhart Tolle defines it, is identification with form. When I think I am the form, then I think these are my thoughts. I am afraid of some of these thoughts. I will deny some of these thoughts. I will project some of these thoughts. I will suffer from some of these thoughts. But none of that needs to happen when I know who I am. When I know myself as the changeless awareness that is always present. Regardless of thoughts, regardless of form, regardless of no thoughts, regardless of no form. When I know myself as that, I can allow anything to be, including a thought. And the reason I can allow the thought to be is because I do not think it is my thought. Because I do not believe it has meaning. So the real answer that ends all suffering, literally, is the realization of who we are. In the Bible, at John 3:16, there's a scripture that's quoted in churches all over America, probably all over the world, probably the most quoted scripture in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall experience everlasting life. For God so loved the world that the second principle is here too. Each one of us can look at, recognize, realize that second principle right now, even in the world. Or if we can't do that, we can trust that it's there. Because when the world was, quote, created, the second principle came into it also. The second principle is the light of the world. You are the light of the world, remember? The second principle is here now. The second principle is always here now, that unchanging awareness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the second principle. It's in the world. That whoever shall believe in it, trust it, take the time to realize it, right? That whoever shall believe in it shall not perish. Shall not continue to experience the change of karma, but shall have everlasting life. Realize the changelessness of awareness. John 3:16. With that said, I'm going to play a song so that we can contemplate this teaching. The song has a beautiful name that fits very, very well with the teaching. Listen to the name of the song. It's called Quiet Before the Trees. Isn't that beautiful? Quiet before the trees. Awareness before mind and form. That is what we are. With a quiet before the trees. It's a Native American flute song. And while I play this song, if you feel so guided, you can donate to Awakening Together. Barb will provide the link. This is very much like the passing of a plate in a physical church. And we do appreciate your donations. It does cost money to run any organization. All right. Here we are. Quiet before the trees. Thank you. We are the quiet before the trees, or as Jesus put it, before Abraham was, I am. All right, this is the time of the weekly gathering when everyone is invited to share based on the reading, the teaching, and the contemplation. So who would like to share today? Just put up your hand, please. And I'll turn the mic over to you. All right, Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina, and very inspiring talk this morning. And, you know, I like how you've come to the place where we're seeing that our thoughts are form and seeing that our thoughts are part of our perception of the illusion. There are no thoughts that come into the ego mind that are my real thoughts, ever. And so it makes it really clear to me to know when the thoughts I'm hearing are the thoughts of God or the thoughts of ego. And it makes it very clear which ones to listen to. Now, that doesn't mean I always choose to listen to right-minded thoughts. And there are some times that I do let thought get a hold of me. And that sounds really stupid because I don't let thought get a hold of me. I will to be led by ego thoughts. I desire to be led by ego thoughts for whatever reason there may be, and most of it is the first obstacle to peace, the desire to get rid of it. Whenever I'm being led by ego thought, it is because I have a desire to be out of peace. And why would I want to do that? There are very many reasons. You know, why do people gossip? Why do we watch the news and look for bad things that happen? Why do I fall upon my current illness and make it appear that it's very special and different and important? Because I want to be in a non-peaceful place. I want to have exciting thoughts. I want to have interesting things to say. I want to hear things that are interesting to me. And so that me that is wanting all those things is the ego me, the little me that is in love with the thought system that it thinks it is. So when I decide that I'm not going to listen to those thoughts and I'm only going to listen for the thoughts the Holy Spirit brings, in fact, the ego does say, this is boring. This is not fun. This is not exciting. This is not entertaining. But that is when I go back to be still. Just be still and know that none of those stories are entertaining. Those are all the stories of death in all its forms. And that fascination with death, guess what? That's another one of those obstacles to peace. It's everything that I do. And the thoughts are the things that bring me to the place where I don't see peace. Just go and read that section, The Obstacles of Peace, and you will see how listening to thought really does cause lack of peace. And not listening to thought really does bring about peace. So thank you for the lovely topic, Regina. And thank you, Kathy, for your lovely reading. And the music, I'm turning the mic back over.
Thank you very much, Len. does someone else have something that you would like to share? For me, the key is, of course, remembering who I am. There was a time when I couldn't do that because I didn't know to any degree at all who I was. And when I didn't know to any degree at all who I was, I couldn't shift into that, right? Even though it was present, I wasn't aware of it. And this is where the thoughts of the Holy Spirit come in helpful. Remember, I mentioned that the Holy Spirit is actually at the level of mind. And, of course, form. You know, like a thought that comes into your mind that we call a Holy Spirit thought is form, right? So Holy Spirit is at the level of the third and fourth principles of God. But what the Holy Spirit does is it speaks for, points toward the truth, the first and second principle of God. So at the point where we don't know who we are at all, we really just don't. And I know that experience, so I know that it happens. We really just don't. Then what we reach for is listening to, you know, what here is called the Holy Spirit, the right mind, the sane thoughts that point to truth, spiritual intuition, inner wisdom. These are all the same thing. And I learned to discern in my mind between the ego thoughts, which are really the character thoughts, and these thoughts that are pointing somewhere else, away from the character, towards home, towards truth. And I learned not to give my attention to the ego. And I learned to embrace and really follow every single thought of the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, the Holy Spirit eventually leads us beyond itself. The Holy Spirit is like a bridge from the fourth principle of God to the second principle of God. And it carries us across that bridge. When we come to the edge of the bridge, right at the precipice of the second principle, the Holy Spirit bids us goodbye. It asks us to step off of the bridge. It asks us to shift back into before mind, before the third principle, which is where it was born. Once the Holy Spirit has shown us that, there may still be a time of running back and forth across the bridge. There's a word for that that I can't come up with right now. Becoming established, maybe, is what people call it. Becoming established in the second principle. But we don't really need the Holy Spirit anymore, not in the same way that we did before, in order to shift us back into the second principle. Unless you call that slight idea, that remembrance of who we are, the Holy Spirit, then that's the only idea that we need at all anymore. Just one idea. And since we have tasted who we are, and we know that's who we are, we only have to remember who we are, to drop everything instantly. To drop any emotion, any thought instantly, and to shift back into what some people will call the watcher, the observer, just being. It's a quick flight back across the bridge. One of the classes that I'm teaching now in the Minister Preparation Program is the class on Ramana Maharshi. And Ramana Maharshi speaks about his awakening experience, which was, quote, very sudden. You know, it wasn't like many of us are experiencing this process, the process I just described of learning to discern between ego and Holy Spirit, learning to listen to Holy Spirit, let go of ego more, blah, blah. That's the process most of us know. Ramana didn't seem to have that experience. It was a very quick shift. Very quickly, he began to have a panic attack where he thought he was dying. His father had died a few years before, and he had wondered when his father died. He kind of wondered then, you know, what died. You know, what died and what didn't. That thought was already in his mind. So when he began to apparently die, in his mind he was dying, he thought, okay, now I got to find out what dies. You know, what dies and what doesn't. What am I? And he went into this very fast, very quick distinguishing process. And he realized the current, he calls it the current that we are, the current of life, the awareness that we are. And once he realized it, he says he never left it again. He abided there from then on. He never left it again. He didn't go back and forth across the bridge like many of us do when we're becoming established. But it's interesting because he says prior to that experience, that awakening experience, prior to that, he says he had no interest in the true self. No interest in looking at it. No interest in abiding as it. What he's telling us is he fully believed himself to be the character, and he was totally interested in the character's story. When I read that, what that does to me is that brings up a little inquiry in my mind that stays with me. It's very helpful to me. The inquiry is something like, although it may sound judgmental, it's not judgmental for me. The inquiry is something like, are you interested in the self? You know, it's like, would you rather be caught up in this story, this thought process, or are you interested in the self? And when that thought comes up, yes, I'm interested in the self, and an automatic shift. The thoughts are just dropped. There's no pain. There's no struggle. Just suddenly I realize that's not who I am. Those are not my thoughts. They have no meaning, and they die. Instant. Instant. Because I have decided I would rather be with the self. Abide in awareness. Stay there. Though I run back and forth across the bridge, don't get me wrong. But I always return. Out of my own desire to return. Out of my own wanting. Out of my own realizing who I am and wanting to be that rather than pretending to be something else. As Kathy Smith put it, there is not a me who has my thoughts. So why pretend to be a me? With that said, I'm going to play my last song for the day. This is a song that I was introduced to when I was in St. Louis. It's by a band called One Eskimo, and it's a song of awakening. Listen carefully to the words. It's exactly what it is. The name of the song is Amazing. It's talking about how amazing everything is now that it's seen from truth.
Amazing. now. It's amazing. I've wanted this for so long. Now the deed has been done. We shall rise with the sun. Spend our time as one. Now there is no sin in anything. It's amazing. I love life. I hope you do too. I love everything. It's all amazing. I feel you. Do you feel you? I understand when they say we're born again. 'Cause I've been born again. I'm born again. And it's amazing. It's a blessing. It's glorious. It's life changing. It's feeling. It's amazing. It's a blessing. It's glorious. It's life changing. It's feeling.
All right, everyone. Thank you very much. Have a happy Sunday. I will see you tonight. I'll be here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for 7 Steps to Awakening, and then 8 p.m. Eastern Time for the member meeting. Bye-bye.